Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in to the KSR Football Podcast presented by Justice Dental. Nick Roush here with Drew Frank on Adam Luckett. Freddie Maggard is out this week. A little scheduling snafu here. We've got another Monday basketball game, kicking this to a matinee edition. But we have to discuss Kentucky's bad loss to South Carolina and the upcoming rivalry game with Louisville. Drew, you were not with us on our road trip from hell, but we do have to discuss our road trip from hell because I think our trip wasn't even as bad as Ryan's. Everybody just went to Columbia and it was a disaster, an absolute disaster.
Yeah, just not a fun week for me specifically. Joe Burrow gets hurt, so that just ruins my December and January. Baker, my son, gets sick Thursday night. He's puking all over himself. So that wasn't a good. So the weekend, we even sucked before I even got to the weekend. And then we get in the car, go to Columbia. A Jeep starts barreling down at us. I thought I was going to have to put a hurting on the Jeep's front end. But luckily, it only clips us. And then after that, things still continue to unravel. Even on Friday night, Roush, when we went out to dinner, the service was terrible. Like, it was just an awful, awful weekend. And then Saturday happens, and I typically have the approach of never overreact or underreact in a college football season because, you know, that's this season is a roller coaster in a lot of ways. The truth is always somewhere in the middle to me. But that result was, you know, damning to me. That was how Kentucky, specifically offensively, went down there and played. That's just not a good sign. Yeah, and then I think everybody's seen the sprinkler snafu. And so this program just feels like it's in a really bad spot right now. And now they're having to play a hot Louisville team who's catching breaks, but who's capitalizing on opportunities throughout the season, and who's about to play in maybe the biggest game in the program's history next week. And so there's just not a lot going well for this program right now. There's a lot of warning signs that keep popping up, and I just don't think they're in a very great place right now. We've kind of addressed that on the Rap Reaction, Nick. We don't need to hammer that over the head. But a critical offseason is coming, but first they have to play a game.
We can hammer it over the head.
So, yeah, just not to be super dreary, but I don't feel good about this week. Don't feel good about the current space of this team. Don't feel good about where the program is sitting right now. And so, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. We do need to talk about the nitty-gritty of actually what happened in the loss to South Carolina. But first, a reminder, we are brought to you by our friends at Justice Dental, your one-stop shop for all your dental needs, whether you just need some preventative maintenance, a little cleaning, a little x-ray action here or there, or you want a full mouth restoration, veneers, the works. They got it all at either one of their two locations, conveniently located Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. You can visit them online at justicedental.com, or you can text or call. Yeah, you can even text them to set up an appointment, 859-543-0700. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson will hook you up at Justice Dental. Drew, at what point in the game Saturday night did you feel like, oh gosh, here it is, this ball game, this one's over, Cats aren't going to be able to get it done?
You know, oddly, I probably hung on longer than most just because Kentucky was clearly the better football team. Even after each mistake and, you know, even getting into the fourth quarter, I'm like, well, eventually they have to win this. That's just how it works. I had given up on some bets I had, but I kept thinking, well, they're going to win the game. Might win about three, whatever. It might be close. They're going to win. But then when they had when South Carolina actually went up, I didn't think they'd score again, really. I thought at that moment we were kind of doomed. Really, I'll go back. My confidence really took a hit when I saw that crowd. So let me rephrase that. I still thought Kentucky would pull it off in the end, but I went in thinking Kentucky would kick their ass. And I just kept – I thought the crowd kind of hurt them in the beginning and then eventually it would get right. And then in the fourth quarter, I started realizing, oh, wait, Kentucky's not going to win this at all. So I think I hung on a little longer than most, but I'm still in shock that they looked like that much better of a football team and the score was 17-14, Kentucky having 14 points.
The part of the game for me, I got a bad feeling when they couldn't get that dagger score because for a lot of it, it felt like if you just got a touchdown to start the third quarter or if you don't throw the interception in the end zone or Dane doesn't fumble the ball right before half, I feel like Kentucky was ready to put a dagger in them, go up two scores, and that would end the game. But even after Leggett caught his second touchdown, I had our kind of post-game post, I had it written out. And I just – here's where the final drive started to go down and win the game. I had it written out. I was just going to fill in the details of how they went down and won it. And then the first play, Leary gets stripped from behind. I mean, you had the ball in the 50 with 2 minutes and two timeouts. Just even if you just got 20 yards, I had confidence in Alex Rainer to go kick it and send us into overtime. I even looked at Luckett. Ryan shared his – prediction before the game that Dane Key would catch the winning touchdown in overtime, and I was like, ah, that SOB is going to get it right. Well, you can't do that when you get strip sacked on a three-man rush, and Luckett, he held that ball up there for 5 seconds. I mean, he had all the time in the world. Throw the damn football.
Yeah, Nick, I think you hit on most of it. I really had – there's three sections of this game. Really four if you want to count South Carolina's start, but really three that really mattered. 10-7 – Kentucky has two possessions. They cross South Carolina's 40 each time. Can't even get a field goal kick attempted to tie the game. You have the interception in the red zone with Leary. But really before that, that kind of share and pass. Like, I don't think that's a bad call, but it's probably one Cohen wants back. You cannot have a fumble there. Now, you end up converting that first down, but they kind of felt like you kind of got off script a little bit. And then Ramon Jefferson falls on the first down run after the you hit Berrien for a first down to get a red zone possession. And Leary makes a bad read and a bad throw. So, and then that, and then Dane Key makes a huge catch. It's going to set you up to at least get a field goal attempt. You fumble there. So you miss that opportunity. And then you have a chance in a slugfest game. You've got two opportunities with the ball up 14-10, and you can't go score. One of those possessions, you're backed up. The other one, you can't get out. You just can't get anything started. And then the next one, to me, Nick, was really the midfield. Like, you get the ball at midfield, right? You punt it. Your defense sets you up. You get it back. You got to go win that game. At least you got to get the 20 yards to go attempt a field goal there, and you get sacked. You have a long – against an eight-man pressure, or excuse me, at least against an eight-man coverage, only a three-man rush. Leary just kind of sits there all game. And there's one time where I thought the pass protection really suffered. So that was unfortunate. So there was multiple chances. I don't know if there was ever a smoking gun that I ever thought Kentucky was going to lose, but they just – there was, again, in these games, multiple opportunities arose where Kentucky could have went and won the game. There was about three or four of them, and they swung and missed on all of those. And that just keeps happening this year. This team does not know how to go and win games. I mean, it's plain as day. It's happened repeatedly throughout the season, and it happened again Saturday night against South Carolina, and it'll probably happen again Saturday against Louisville if they don't get their doors blown up. They'll probably be in the game in the third and fourth quarter. Louisville will make the plays, and they won't. And that's just that'll be the recap of this season.
The problem that I have, Drew, can this team just, you know, start a game and when the game starts? I know that it was a very cool pregame intro. The light show, the sandstorm, it was a lot of fun. But can you not just start the game down two scores? I mean, how many times has that happened this year? You have to be awake when the football game starts. Oh, there you go. Oh, still muted. Oh, no.
Good?
Yep, now you're good.
There you are.
We're on fire today. Sounds like Luckett's at a construction site. I'm sick over here. I did just pass a COVID test, everyone, so we're good there.
Okay, there we go.
Just like 2 minutes ago. I'm good. But, yeah, the starts. If it wasn't three and out, it was close to it, and then an immediate touchdown from South Carolina. It's not even like they had a little thing going on that first drive. I think they might have one first down. But then South Carolina turns around, scores, and it's 10-0 on their first two possessions. And, yeah, I mean, the crowd looked awesome. But, I mean, it's not go down 10-0 awesome. It's not an excuse to be down 10-0 to a bad South Carolina team that shouldn't even be in the bowl conversation going to this Clemson game. They shouldn't even win against Kentucky. So, yeah, disappointing right out of the gate.
And that's – this team isn't good enough to play from behind. We can now talk about our friend Ray Davis, who was upset after the game. But it's hard to, A, keep your running game involved when you're down 10-0. B, people talk about how great Ray Davis is, and that was an outstanding touchdown run. But he was pretty bad the rest of the game. The other 11 carries he had, he was averaging less than 3 yards per carry. He's been bad the last month. He's not seeing things very well at all. He's your best player, and he's been kind of taken out of the equation the last month of the year, Luckett. And to your point that you wrote about in today's Monday huddle, it's like, what is this offense? What is this team? What is their identity? Because they can't really do anything well right now.
Yeah, I think – like, we have to go back to why Liam Cohen was hired in the first place. He was hired, one, to, like, fix recruiting, fix QB recruiting, fix that situation, upgrade the passing game, and to score points in these SEC games that are very winnable that they lose all the time. A&M in 2018, you lose 20-14 in overtime. Last year against Ole Miss, you lose 22-19. The list goes on and on. About 2018, the offense just totally craps out against Tennessee. And that was the main reason they lost that game, just because they couldn't score. So really, he was hired to score points and win games. And so that was a situation where, in a year where the defense is labored, right? Defense plays well enough to win.
Which we kind of expected, too, going into the season.
Defense plays well enough to win. You hold South Carolina, a good South Carolina offense, not a great offense, a really good South Carolina passing game. You hold them to 17 points. Go, you know, you got to, against a bad South Carolina defense, you got to go score points to win the game. And then against a not great Mississippi State defense, this offense only scored 17 points.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can talk a lot, and I know a big talking point is Brad White and soft zone defenses and giving up too much, yada, yada, yada. And they've been got a little bit this year, and that is all true. But at the end of the day, you got to score more points than this program is scoring. Like, you got to go and score. In a game like that, you have to go score points. Like, this is the name of the game. And that's the most disappointing part about that game. And it keeps happening. I'm not saying it's all, you know, on Cohen. This is kind of a program issue.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a long time that they just haven't figured it out on offense. And that's really, really frustrating for them. They haven't figured it out. This year, Nick and Drew, they invested a lot to fix this offense. A lot of available resources. NIL money to go out and get a Devin Leary. NIL money to keep a Barrion Brown and a Dane Key on the roster. They went out and got offensive line transfers. Marcus Cox, who's been a solid SEC left tackle. They fixed the offensive line we all thought was the biggest issue. Went out and got a running back who's going to run for 1,000 yards. Has, 17 touchdowns this year?
Mm-hmm.
So they've done a lot to try to fix and find answers, and they're not producing. And so they're going to have to go back to the drawing board, whether it's player talent evaluation, development, or scheme or whatever. They have to kind of figure it out. They cannot get in a situation like that. What happened on Saturday, where they cannot win a game because the offense can only score 14 points against a defense that has been one of the worst in the SEC. And like, why does a 3-3-5 keep giving this team problems? You know, it's been the thing with Mississippi State. South Carolina's been running a 3-3-5 for 2 weeks, and they can't figure it out. Why? Like, they can't just be – like, you got to figure it out. And so just a lot of frustration, I think, with the offense. And in a year where the defense is struggling, defense played well enough to win a football game on the road. You got to go score. You can't go turn the ball over three times in 11 possessions. And three of those turnovers happen at midfield or better, like in plus territory. Just can't happen.
What's the saying? The whole does not equal the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
That's been
identity. Like who? What is their? What is their? When they had Eddie Grant, I knew what their go-to thing was. All right, boys, we're getting in spread formations. We're running inside zone.
It was the final drive against Vanderbilt in 2018. Just give it to Benny. Yeah, like, when in doubt, let him run it 90 yards the other way.
Yeah, like, you hire Cohen to kind of run the McVay-Shanahan offense, which is wide zone play action. Can't really run wide zone. Haven't ever been able to run it in the 3 years they've kind of had this offense. And so what is it? Like, who are your best players? Who are you force-feeding? In the past, all right, 24, save us, which he kind of did against Vanderbilt last year. You remember the 75-yard mm-hmm. touchdown yeah. in the second half or fourth quarter when it looked dire, and then the defense just couldn't get a stop. This year, they don't have a go-to guy. They're trying – looks like to me they want it to be Barry and Brown, and it just hasn't happened yet, and they have reluctance to maybe give it to Ray Davis, but I can't blame them because, Nick, like you mentioned, he just hasn't – the results haven't been there for a month stretch now. And, you know, you paid David Leary to go out and win you a game. He hadn't won you a game yet. You could argue he lost you the game Saturday. So there's just a lot there, man. And it's been a very, very frustrating season. You know, there's not a good football team, and they come up short in these big clutch moments when the game is to be won. It's three times now. We're in a fourth quarter. They can't make the plays. I mean, what are they getting outscored in the fourth quarter against Tennessee, Missouri, and South Carolina? It's a lot to little. It's something I'll probably look up, maybe write about this week, but it's been a massive disappointment in that aspect.
Drew, if I had a dollar for every time Luckett said throw it to Dane Key while we were sitting in the press box at Williams-Brice Stadium, I would have enough dollars to make a lot of money on Prize Picks. If you haven't downloaded the Prize Picks app, do it now. Sign up. Use promo code KSR. And they'll match your first deposit up to $100. It's pretty easy. You pick squares. Then you go more or less. You string them together, and you can win big. And, folks, it's feast week, so that means tonight we've got Cats in action. We've got Monday Night Football. We've got Thanksgiving football on Thursday. I put together I like this, the little play I've got tonight. DJ Wagner, over 10.5, more than 10.5 points. Justin Edwards, less than 16.5 points, rebounds, and assist. And Jalen Hurts, less than a half rushing touchdown.
Oh.
Yeah.
Against the tush push.
Yes, betting against the tush push. And we're waiting for a DJ or Justin bounce back. And I think DJ's going in the right direction. I'm still hesitant on Mr. Edwards, particularly in the rebounding department. That's where he should be able to clean up inside. Don't think he'll do it against St. Joe's. $20 right there can win me $100 by playing at Prize Picks, a fun daily fantasy sports way to get in on the action. It's available in most states. Download the app now, promo code KSR. They'll match your initial deposit 100% up to $100. And I wasn't the Barry on Brown thing. I mean, he was there was multiple times where Kentucky has guys pass the defense, and either Leary gets the ball tipped and he can't get it to him, or Berrion just can't go catch the pass. And I'm wondering, I mean, does he not catch them in practice? Does he not you can't just keep doing this in the games if they don't work in practice, right? I don't understand how they have these opportunities and he just can't make those plays.
Of all the things that's gone wrong with Kentucky football this year, the thing that has me most puzzled is how Berrion Brown is just not good at football this year. Is not even close to what he was last year. Well, they targeted him 11 times against South Carolina. I mean, the offense was, let's go at Brown. He had four catches for maybe 30 yards.
Yeah.
I think he has a combined 10 yards in the games against Alabama and Georgia. Now, I know that's Alabama and Georgia, but if that's your offense and he has a combined 10 yards, that's a problem. I'm just mind blown by how it went south. I think back to maybe the Florida game. I bring this up every week when Leary, a feather to him in the end zone, something you'd catch in the parking lot playing with kids, and it hits his feet. Like, he had so many drops and so many mistakes that seem uncharacteristic, but now it's 11 games in the season. That's just what he was this year. It's truly unbelievable how so much was on him and that offense, and it just completely did not work out.
To Drew's point, Barry and Brown leads the team in targets with 79. Dane Key has 12 receptions over or Dankey and Tavian Robinson both have more explosive receptions, 15 plus yards, than him. Jordan Dingle has more explosive receptions of 15 plus yards than him. Barron Brown with 6 receptions of 15 plus yards is just ahead of Josh Caddis, who has 4 receptions of 15 plus yards. Like, this is your—
the ass kicker isn't exactly an explosive playmaker either.
This,
you know,
this is your big play threat. This is the guy you're looking to hit home runs with on vertical deep shots, and it just hasn't happened. Nick, there's 2 of them in that game. The first one to Barron, he has to go get the ball. You know, on the replay, he's kind of letting up on that route. Now, I don't know if that's by design to kind of let up and go, but the ball is there and it's within his grasp. Like, he's got to track that ball better, in my opinion. Like, you got to finish with that catch. They throw a back shoulder to him, hits him right in between, right dead smack middle of what should be the diamond when you make the catch it, and just drops that one. And so, drops have been an issue. He's not, you know, he's not the best route runner, I don't think. But, like, you keep going to him, and it's just— – we played 11 games. And it's— – that's a high volume of your passing game with very little return. 6 receptions of that gained 15-plus yards and that many targets, it's damning. It's not— – and it's not like he's just a – like, it's not, you know, dump-offs that you're throwing to him. There are some, but they're looking to get him the ball down the field a lot, and it's just not worked all season, and it's really frustrating. Leary has missed on some throws too. It's not just Barron, but, like, you got to make some plays, man.
With everything it took to get him to come back, like I said, he built the offense around him, went out and got the quarterback that you think he needed. If you had told me before the year that he would have 3 touchdowns right now, I would not believe that. I would think that's crazy. That is absolutely crazy that Barron Brown would have 3 touchdowns. But that's just how bad that offense has been. I keep bringing up him. It's a collective unit. Yeah. It's just he's been the most surprising to me because I put so much stock into him going into the year.
Well, yeah. The guy who's throwing it to him just keeps having SEC performances at 50% completion percentage. I mean, what do you—
– is it— –
accuracy was his whole thing.
Is it because he's short? Why are they getting batted down? I'm not smart enough to know, but his passes are getting batted down way too much. I know that much.
Stoops' line was essentially he's not trusting it. I think when in doubt, he tries to muscle his way through it. And, I mean, you saw Will do that at times last year. But now it's Josh Caddis, right? The dude's standing in the end zone. And there wasn't anybody, I mean, within 15 yards. I mean, the complete left side of that defense just crashed. There was nobody there. He could have waved for a fair catch. He could have gone and hugged and kissed his girlfriend, come back. All he had to do was just throw it up there. And instead, he tries to get a little piss missile in there, and it just gets bad. It gets swatted out. I don't know why you can't just, like, bloop, toss it in there. I mean, it's almost like he's doing the chest pass for throwing in the Dr. Pepper thing. Like, no, just give it a nice soft toss. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. I don't.
So what's happening when I keep hearing about, man, ball didn't touch the ground in practice this week, and then on Saturday all the balls touch the ground? I know it's hard to go from practice to game, but when it's every week, it seems to be doing that. You guys hear it. Oh, Wednesday, man, ball didn't hit the ground. Oh, you should have seen him. Ball didn't hit the ground. Leary hitting everybody. And then you get in the game, and it's like, well, what happened?
Did we even see it? We saw it that one pass, too, to Tavion in the first touchdown of the year, right, where he put it in beautifully. He had a nice touch and arc on it. So he's done it in games like it, but now that confidence is just completely eroded.
To me, Drew, like, why are they just getting smacked in the fourth quarter of these games? When the chips are on the line, they just can't execute. So whose fault is that? Is it the player's fault? Is it the coach's fault? I think that's hard to figure out, but I think there's some deserved criticism for both sides on that. Why can't they figure it out? To your point about Leary, like, it's when you have a quarterback as short as him, that's going to be an issue. Batted passes. Like, you're going to have a couple. There's just not much you can do about it, but it shouldn't be the volume we're seeing. I think – offensive line-wise, they're probably not staying locked on as they should. And defenses know that. So A lot of times they're not even trying to rush the passer. Just get your hands up, because if you get in his lane, you've got a really good chance to knock it down. And I think a part of it is on Leary, like Nick and Drew. How you release the ball needs to change. Like the caddis pass, Nick. Like you just got to loft that up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get that batted down. He's wide open. A rainbow would have got to him there.
It could have been the rookie in the year pitch. You know, when Rosenhausen throws it up 30 feet in the air and he can't hit it. I mean, do that. Anything.
Yeah. So, a lot of frustration.
Let's get to the fourth quarter stuff, though, Lucky, because Stoops used the word resolve again today. He's used it a couple of times this year. He clearly made that his mission statement going into the season, that this team would have a little bit of guts, a little bit of intestinal fortitude when the going got tough, and they've done the exact opposite. I think that's why he was so upset after the game, is because he wanted to make that this team's mission statement, and they just haven't done it. I have my theory, and a lot of it just comes down to the leadership of this team, the makeup of this team. You have to go back to the 2019-2020 recruiting classes, where the guys in that class, a lot of them have turned out to be fine players, but they aren't the guys that were keeping that locker room together during the peak Mark Stoops run, where if things were going wrong, nobody messed with Benny Snell, right? Drake Jackson. Those guys were tone setters. Those guys were – it was a player-led team. You had leaders on both sides of the ball. Even going back to 2021, DeAndre Squared, he played a ton of football for you on defense. On the offensive side of the football, nobody questioned – I mean, Wandale Robinson was a transfer, and they've got a lot of transfers on this team. But the guy who replaced Wandale, he quit on the team last year. Wandale, he was the dude who was working harder than anybody out there, right? Will Levis, for all of his faults, nobody could question what he was putting in for that team. And I just think there's really been a vacuum there, where the guys who got recruited as high schoolers, you know, maybe they aren't your best players where they can be those vocal leaders, right? And then your transfers – I mean, one of those guys you expect to be a leader is tweeting after the game how he's not a bell cow. I think the leadership vacuum is really rearing its ugly head in those fourth quarter moments, Lockett.
Yeah, I definitely think you have a point on that. 2019, Nick, was just a massive miss of a class. You know, and it is what it is. We don't have to kind of revisit it. I think You've had a situation where seniors on this team haven't played like they needed them to play. And so when your expected leaders aren't playing well, it's probably hard to have leadership.
Yeah. Horsey's played, five games this year?
Right. And then I think you look, and J.J. Weaver just hasn't had a good season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at the offense, just a lot of transfers on this team. Marcus Cox at left tackle, Devin Leary at quarterback, Ray Davis at tailback. Three of your most important players, and they all weren't on your roster last year. And those are three kind of leadership positions, let alone that. And then even at center, you've had to make a change midseason, right? You had to go – Eli Cox wanted him to play guard. It couldn't happen. You had to go shift him back to center. And then I think in a lot of ways, this offense was built around Dane Key and Barry and Brown. I think Dane Key's played through his slump, and now we're seeing him break out of that. But Berrien has struggled really all year, and he hasn't provided the explosive plays that you've relied on. And then I think a lot of this, Nick, goes down to identity. When the chips are on the line, who are you? Like, where do you go? Like, what do we do? How do we make a play? I still think Kentucky knows who they are defensively when the game is on the line. Now, you can argue whether that's effective or not, but they know what they're doing and what they're going to. Offensively, I don't know if that's the case, because they're trying to figure out who they are and who they want to be. You can say a lot of things about Mark Stoops, but he's tried to evolve. This is not from a lack of not trying to evolve. Like, they've tried to go from this run-heavy operation, a system that couldn't recruit receivers and quarterbacks, and they've shifted to what they are now, and now they're recruiting receivers and quarterbacks. But they have to figure out how to go win games doing that and what it looks like. And I think you're seeing some of the unhappiness in that offensive meeting room start to leak out. I mean, every Mark Stoops press conference, he refuses to say anything good about the offensive line.
Yeah. Just refuses.
I think we know where that's headed, right?
Yeah.
It seems like they're probably going to make a staffing change there. But now I think you're seeing guys like Ray Davis tweets out after the game. He's unhappy with maybe how he's being used. We saw Denke's dad and brother tweet out Saturday, unhappy. I can't say I disagree with him on that. Like, he's the best receiver. I don't understand why, when the game's on the line, why they weren't looking. I mean, I know it's more complicated than that, but you got to get him the football, in my opinion, some of these big spots. And they didn't. Even the fourth down at the end, he was throwing to a covered Tavian Robinson. Devin Leary was. And so I understand the frustration there, but that's not good. And it feels like they're losing the locker room 2 years in a row, Nick. I mean, Mark Stoops kind of admitted that what happened, he's not going to let happen again. And to me, that was people splintering in that locker room. And it feels like that's happening again on the offensive side of the ball. And I go back to this, too. The Missouri game, the defense had to run over to the offense, like, during that game and try to, like, give them a pep talk, like, in the fourth quarter. Like, that was kind of a sign. Like, what something's going on over there in that offensive room, it seems like. And Saturday was a very bad sign because that is a defense they should have went and had a good day against. And they didn't for whatever reason. And so, I mean, a critical December coming up with how they handle this roster management. It's specifically, I think, on the offensive side of the football. Because I think defensively, they're still going to have pieces. And they're still recruiting well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right.
I mean, I know he's not a popular man right now, but I'm still willing to bet Brad White's going to figure it out, and they're going to adjust, and they'll get back to playing good defense here. But I do worry about the offense because what is their identity? Who do they want to be, and how do you cultivate the leadership and all of that out of that? Now, the quarterback talent is better, and I do think Cohen is going to go find him another good transfer quarterback. He's proven that that talent accumulation – he can check that box here, but you got to go out and you got to go, you know, be able to score points against a South Carolina team like that. And it's just concerning that it seems like 2 years in a row that they're losing the locker room, and that's not a good sign.
Drew, let's, you know, we're going to look past Louisville for right now because, I mean, it's the Governor's Cup. Kentucky wins it. That's just, it's a day that ends in Y. We can discuss it more, but how would you try to find a silver lining for this offseason? Like, what is the let's try to fast forward to April and like what are we selling as like a well they can do this well in 2024 that should have some folks maybe optimistic. I know a lot's going to change between now and then, but where can you find any sort of positive?
I'm very flattered you think I would have that answer because I think it's a big problem UK football has to address. I really don't know, and I don't think they know. I don't think anyone knows. I mean, we can assume there will be some significant departures. Obviously, you're going to have a new quarterback, new running back. I think you just have to clean up in the portal, but that's what they did last year, and we all bought in and got excited. I was convinced this offense was going to score 35 points a game. I mean, I was told Leary's the number one transfer quarterback. Ray Davis, I know what he's capable of. Saw some of that. Saw what the receivers did last year. Again, I'm in shock it didn't work. So they do have to go to the portal. But even if they clean house, it's going to be hard to sell that. Like, hey, look at these shiny new toys we got. Because we're all going to be like, yeah, well, the toys last year were pretty broken. So I don't know what they do. Like I was alluding to, there will be staff changes. But as far as getting optimism back, that is a big problem that I don't know how they're going to solve that next year. Especially the schedule's harder. If anything, next year is going to be more exciting to not go to Lexington. Ole Miss and Austin are like the two selling points next season. Getting away from Kroger Field is probably the two most exciting things on the schedule, unless they can do some serious get some serious acquisitions to get people excited for next year.
To me, Nick, it's almost like just don't say anything off season, because there's nothing you can say. People are going to be PO'd regardless, and you can't really blame them. There's nothing you can really say. But I think it's very important this year that they are very selective in the transfer market.
Yeah.
And get guys that fit what – that are going to fit their locker room and are going to fit schematically what they want to do. We can't get – you know, can't get caught up in the transfer portal rankings. I think there was – you know, it's easy to do, right? You know, we see what Leary accomplished. You see what Davis accomplished. They're not taking any away from those guys or whatever. But it's going to be very important that they get guys that fit and they get guys that contribute and play.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You're going to hear me say this 100 times over the next month. You cannot afford to get transfers that aren't going to play on the team, because then they're just sitting there sucking up a scholarship. Like, they have to be. You're better off getting guys from high school and developing them that way than getting transfers and that aren't going to play. You get transfers, they need to play and they need to produce on your team almost immediately. And I think there was a thought last year, like, if we lose a transfer and need to replace him with a portal guy, I don't think we'll hear them that'll be the case this year. If they lose a transfer, they're going to want to replace him with a high school guy and kind of get back to their old school kind of development in that regard.
Which is kind of, you know, when John Calipari was at a similar crossroads, he just went back to what worked well, right, which was recruiting like gangbusters out of the high school ranks. And you're seeing him take a lot of guys this year. This is going to be a good class, particularly defensively, where I am going to end up getting into this season pretty optimistic as long as they can find somebody that's a dude back there at safety. Because I think J.Q. Hardaway is going to end up being a pretty good cornerback when it's all said and done. I just think they just need some time to develop. But most importantly, Deion Walker is a – I mean – On the flip side of the bad tweets, that was a good tweet. You know, the grass isn't always greener. I think when you saw that, your response in the car was, they need some more Detroit guys. Deion Walker is very much a Mark Stoops football player. Like, he has that sort of the way he carries himself is very much like some of the OG guys that really led the way here. And
Harrison too.
Yeah, like they got some, like, dog. You know, where they're just not going to. They don't take no stuff from people. And so I think that defense will have the sort of resolve, the kind of grit that you're looking for. And then, but to get back to where this all started, offensively, you don't know. I think part of how you fix it is you get Cohen back on the field, you get him around the players, because, I you know, seeing your general at the front of the cavalry charge, I think – plays a significant role, right? You know, your offensive line, you might think those guys aren't very good, but you're going to get a lot of them back, at least. I don't know. I got to stop myself.
I know Stoops wants them to play better, but they're improved. And that group is playing hard with effort. And there was times last year where I questioned the fight of that group, just like when Leary got hit. I don't question Dylan Ray's fight. Like, you can think what you are as a player, but that dude scraps. And they need more of that. Eli Cox scraps. Marcus Cox scraps. Jeremy Flax has shown resolve this year. So, Kobe Keenum scraps from what I've seen from him in the past. So, I think they're getting more of the kind of the guys that check kind of Kentucky offensive linemen boxes, which are, you know, like, Logan Stenberg mentality, to put it in the simplest form. Drake Jackson mentality.
Playing with an edge.
That will fight your ass. So I think they're getting back to where they need to get there. But offensively, they just got to kind of figure out. Cohen's got to find the right mix for his guys to run his system. And who's gonna check those boxes.
Yeah.
You know, it might have gotten too portal heavy over there.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Yeah, like we can fix anything. The next guy can be the best guy.
Then now you're still going to have to go and get a quarterback, whatever. You probably need a running back, but you need some of these guys you've recruited in the last couple classes. You need them to start playing, and you got to get, back to the sophomore class on that defense, like Deion Walker and Max Harrison. Those are kind of they kind of look like your future captains, right? You're talking about player leadership. Those kind of look like guys. So getting Deion back is very, very important. And then, you don't want to have an exodus at receiver. I think that's – when you're looking at transfers, that's kind of the worry part to me. Like, what happens there at receiver? Do you lose just everybody and you're stuck to – that's the scary part to me. You need to get those guys back. I wouldn't be surprised if – I mean, I'm talking about Dane and Berrien, obviously.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of them leave, but you really can't afford to lose two.
Yeah. We don't have to play favorites on who we would rather – have around, but I think everybody here can understand how we feel about those guys. I want to go back to something that you mentioned, but first, Game Time, the Game Time app. If you haven't used it yet, you can use it to buy tickets to the Governor's Cup Saturday at noon on ABC at the LNN FedCred Stadium, formerly an artist known as Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Just go on the Game Time app, scroll through, find your seat. It's so simple. Two buttons pressed and boom, the tickets are right there on your phone, easy to use. And when you use promo code KSR, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Tickets are definitely still available there. That stadium's way too big for that school. But something crazy could happen, and that could be a lot of fun, whether you're going to a game there or to Kentucky basketball game. The Cats play tonight at home. They play Friday night at home. I know that's a popular game for fans, especially family coming in town for Thanksgiving holidays. It can always be a good time at Rupp Arena. When you use the Game Time app, promo code KSR for $20 off your first purchase. Talk about playing with Edge, and they'll fight your ass. Drew, over under 3.5 fights Saturday between the Kentucky Wildcats and Louisville Fighting Cardinal Birds.
Before kickoff, over. Yeah, I'll go over there. I think, especially if the football starts going the wrong way and Kentucky's seeing their season go 6-6, we might really see the Cats try to play a different sport at that moment. Mm-hmm. Hope it doesn't get that point. I hope it's like God intends and Kentucky's up big. But I think whatever the scoreboard says, there will be extra fisticuffs throughout the game.
Do we need to hide the garbage cans?
I don't know. They drink out of there, so they're all in the parking lot. I don't know if they have them inside.
That's a good point.
They already took those measures.
Okay.
Who's I mean, the other coach pretty well. He doesn't seem like a fighter. What assistant? Who's locking up? Brez is gone. Klink with his Cane's toast back in the day, he's gone. I don't know if we'll have anything exciting of the adults in the room, but I think the players will give us lots of fun.
I've heard some stories about Jeff. I think he would. But him and Stoops like each other because they're both of these. Yeah. They got some bitch energy about him,
Yeah. No, I wouldn't want to fight Jeff. I just don't think he's the type that would take it to a football game. He's got more class than that.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too, is that, like, all of the people who get very upset about the fighting and the, yeah, it's not good, but I mean, guys, we've been doing this forever. Like in that 2014 game, we heard Charles Walker share on this podcast. I mean, Seuss basically told him to go start a fight before the game, and it got him rattled, and they were able to stay in it. I don't know if Kentucky will have that same energy where they're just going out and starting the fights right away, but I think you need to have some of that as long as it's not fake, just hold me back. I worry about the fake tough guy kind of energy that we've been getting from this team.
You don't want fake tough guy and you don't want actual assault, but I'd much rather have my team fighting than kind of rolling out of bed and going down 10-0 and not having energy out of the gate. I'd rather be worrying about them going too far and being too aggressive than not bringing enough.
Yeah, I have no idea where this team's mind's at, right? I think Mark Stoops said today we're going to have to work hard this week to get them ready to play or ready to bounce back. I don't want to misquote him, but I don't want to get the context wrong there. But I don't know where this team's mind is at. And that's what's tricky about this game, the most trickiest part to me. Kentucky's had the mental edge for a while here in this matchup. And I just don't think they're going to have it this year. Because where are they at? And then where Louisville is at?
They made it pretty
– I think that's gone now to me. And that's concerning.
And I'm they've made it pretty clear, too, over there. I mean, Jeff's been talking about it since he got the job, about how important it is to beat Kentucky. And today their running backs coach, male guy, Chris Barclay, he's like, this is our Super Bowl. You know, a lot of the – they didn't say that the rest of the season means nothing if we don't win this game, but that's definitely the belief over there. Now, can they put it too much on a pedestal and do the whole Rick Pitino thing? There's a chance that is possible. But what you can't do is you can't go and just let them score 14 points in the blink of an eye, right? You can't let the South Carolina game happen. You can't let the Alabama thing happen where it's just bang, bang, bang. You look up and the scoreboard's already lopsided. Now, if you do that on the other side, though, like it, I think the guys who have seen them in that locker room, that have seen Kentucky kick their ass year after year after year, I think some doubt might creep into their minds if Kentucky can go out and punch them in the face early. It's just that what has this team shown us as of late that they can go do that?
Right. Now, that's my point. I do think, like, in that – there will be some nervous energy in that stadium if that thing starts getting into the third quarter and it's a close game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just – what makes us think that Kentucky could take advantage even if that opportunity presents itself, I think is part of the problem here. I think it's a really big week for this offense. Louisville's got a good defense. And the huge line of scrimmage advantage Kentucky had is no longer the case in this contest. Louisville's defensive line is going to give Kentucky's offensive line some problems with just how they play stylistically. And Ashton Galati is a pro at defensive end who's wreaked havoc all season. And so offensively, can you take advantage of that? And like what Miami's shown, if you can get out on the perimeter and you can be a little explosive, you can go and get chunk plays against this defense. But you got to go do it. You got to win some one-on-ones. You got to bounce some runs. Can't Kentucky do it? I just, you know, we'll have to see. But after last week, like that was embarrassing offensively. To me, really the first time all season where I thought it was an embarrassing offensive performance. So how do they bounce back from that is what I'll be interested to see, because everything from, I think, the way they called it to how they acted – or not acted, how they executed to the plan to missing opportunities to land what Freddie would say the kill drive, right?
Yeah.
They didn't execute the kill drive, even though they had multiple opportunities, and even – the defense even gave them two more chances late in the ballgame, Nick and Drew, and they still couldn't finish it. And you saw it with Cohen, I think, after the game. He was pretty dejected about how they performed. And so they've got to find a way this week. Because if you go in and your defense holds this Louisville team to 20 points and you lose like 20 to 13, that's going to be bad, right?
Well,
if it's winnable, if the defense plays well and they hold Louisville under 24, you need to go win this game.
And the defense is capable of doing it, because, Drew, the one thing I've learned about watching Jack Plummer over the years is if you let him pass it long enough, he's going to throw it to you. And Kentucky, they've shown a good ability to stop traditional runs. So the Cats, they can create some turnovers with Plummer in the passing game. But they almost feel like they need to, right? We need another Max Harrison pick six to be able to give this offense a leg up, because they have been so bad as of late.
Yeah, and I know this Louisville team has better playmakers than they've had since Kentucky's kind of owned the rivalry. But in there a little of this part where when you just see them line up, it's been such an obvious difference the last few years. I think Louisville came in with 7 wins each time. They're excited. And then Kentucky just whooped them both times. Louisville's improved, but there's still the chance of the SEC-ACC gap when they line up that we've seen the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that. Well, because if you look at it, that they have upgraded their playmakers, but Jamari Thrash has got a hand injury. Jawar Jordan hasn't been healthy in a month. They've got a backup kicker in. Their kickers are rotating door. Like, there are some cracks there in the armor. And but to your point, though, the one difference is that in the past, Kentucky would just bully them at the line of scrimmage. And to Luckett's point, this defensive line for Louisville is pretty solid. They're gonna get some pressure after Leary. Yeah.
And on their O-line, Nick, they've got like four super seniors. So they got like four 25-year-olds playing on the offensive line. That has helped things.
I mean, I was 22 when I was covering Brian Hudson's recruitment. I mean, and he's still playing college football.
Right. And the guy they got playing at left tackle, Willie Tyler, is up there too. He's like – he's up there as a super senior. The other tackle, Eric Miller, I believe is his name. He's from Purdue. And he has been around for college football forever. But to the point about the matchup, what Louisville wants to do is run the football, the traditional running game.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky stops that, Deion Walker and the crew. I think if they stop that and Jack Plummer beat them with a banged-up Thrash, I mean, and if you're not Miami and you're just not leaving them tight ends wide open. I think the defense, like this Florida – or excuse me, Louisville is built like Florida and South Carolina more offensively. They're better at other things than those two are. But Kentucky was able to take the run away in both those games and make those quarterbacks beat them. I think Louisville's a better running offense than both those teams probably. But I don't think Plummer's as good as Mertz or as Rattler, right? And so – and I don't know if – Thrash is good, but I don't know. Is he better than Xavier Leggett? No. Is he better than Ricky Pearsall? Maybe. But I don't know. But I think the defense is going to be able to get some stops and play good enough to win this game. Offensively, can Kentucky do it, right?
Yeah.
You know? In Louisville, if the three and outs start piling up, then where does Kentucky's confidence go in a game if that starts happening? Because we've seen them sputter out all year, and Louisville will get some three and outs. Do you have confidence that Kentucky will be able to hit the explosive plays they'll probably need to win this game? I don't. And I think that's kind of where we're at entering this matchup.
We're going to talk about it more on 11 personnel later this week, but I do need to finish by bringing up something that Nick brought up in the chat. We can't let Joey Gatewood beat us. I mean, come on. Joey Gatewood, that guy, I mean, I can't believe he's catching. I mean, Drew, why didn't he just do this 3 years ago and he would be an NFL tight end? Instead, he waited until now, and he's actually kind of good for them playing tight end, and it's something.
Even though I knew he was on their roster, I just assumed he was on the end of the bench somewhere just trying to see how many universities he could play for. But I watched that Miami game. I saw at least three catches, maybe four, some for big yardage. I was like, this guy's actually playing. We have to run into Joey Gatewood next week. So like Nick said, that's a little element I wasn't even considering until I watched that Miami game that got a former cat to worry about. I'm not worried about him too much, but that was an odd sighting watching him play for the U, catching passes wearing number 84 or whatever it is.
We can't let Joey Gatewood have a Marvin Stone moment. We just can't. Hey, come on. No. Enough. Go out there, Cats. Show a little heart. Show a little resolve, as Mark Stoops likes to say. Maybe a little Thanksgiving turkey will do them some good. But we've obviously got a lot more time to discuss this. We appreciate you all joining us this week on the KSR Football Podcast. We'll be back with 11 personnel. If we don't see you again, though, have a happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully it's even happier when the Cats take on the Cards this Saturday, 12 noon on ABC at Cardinal Stadium. For Adam Luckett and Drew Frankel, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Krogering.